I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye. I'm late. No. I'm overdue. I'm really in a stew. No time to say goodbye. Hello, I'm late.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the heartland, it's time for Keeping It 99.
Welcome to Keeping It 99, your one-stop shop podcast for everything in the world of heavy metal, rock and roll, Northeast Ohio. Sometimes none of that. My name is Eagle.
Hello.
And I've never enjoyed a conversation that started with somebody going, "Hey, you're a big guy." Never enjoyed that conversation ever. And I am joined, as always, per usual, you know, it's the normal, by the one, the only, Rubber City Big Guy. We're back! It's a weekend show. This show came out a little bit late, you know. We're like the jazz music.
Show is always late.
We're like a period.
Yeah. Late, but it shows up.
Yeah.
Don't
it's
worry.
Benign. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry.
We're not going to have to abort the show.
You won't have a tumor growing for 9 months and then have to take care of said tumor for 25 years.
How am I going to get a whole new life and change my name and move out of state within 9 months?
What's cracking with you? What's going on?
Oh, man. I'm still reeling from last week's show where I got to see Parliament Funkadelic. I got to see 75-year-old Turk, about to be 76. George Clinton, and a version of the Parliament Funkadelic. I didn't get no Bootsy Collins.
How many original members was there? Bootsy wasn't there, huh?
No, Bootsy wasn't there. I honestly couldn't tell you how many original members were.
Was there a dude in a diaper?
Did not see a dude in a diaper. Did see a guy that resembled Andre 3000. Evan and I almost got our picture taken with him. We were like, let's go, maybe. And then we were like, eh. Because we were standing right behind the stage during Maggot Brain. At that show.
That's awesome.
We somehow snuck our way over there.
They play the full 14 minutes.
Dude, yeah. Yeah. It was wonderful. And as soon as it kicked on, because that was like George Clinton's break, right? He's like, I'm off the stage.
I gotta go take my vitamins.
Like, you could just smell the marijuana smoke. Like, it was...
And you're outdoors. It was an outdoor venue.
A sold-out show, mind you.
Yeah.
It was very interesting because it was black people. Every black person over the age of 50 that lives in Akron was there.
Right.
And then I would say that was 70% of the crowd. Well, maybe 60. Definitely over half. So let's go with 70. And then the other 30% was people that look like my wife and myself.
Yeah.
Like, it was just some tattooed people. Like, I saw Tucker and his girl.
Oh, nice.
And it was just people with tattoos that are like, fuck yeah, Parliament. Like, like,
oh, bro, I totally smoke weed.
Yeah, that was it. It was an awesome, awesome show. Everybody just dancing, having such a good time. People popped hard for some of those songs. They straight up did, what's that song, Get Low from Little John?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Seeing a bunch of older black people that were going to church the next morning. Get they were wrong. All going to church, and they're going to be talking about, they're all standing up going, ah, skeet, skeet, motherfucker. Oh, skeet, skeet, goddamn. Straight up. It was wonderful. I felt cool. I just felt good.
I think I was working that, was the show that night? Like, yeah. I was working that night? Okay, yeah, I was working that night because I love Lock 3.
It's a great venue.
Yeah, man. I've been down there a few times, and had I had been able to go, I know the guy that does the security and stuff down there. So
mm-hmm. I saw you at the Live 3 show. We've talked about it before. Ran into you at KRS-One.
Yeah, KRS-One.
KRS-One.
Spitting the knowledge.
Because he's dropping science, dropping history with a whole leap of style and intelligence. Yes, I know. And I know because of KRS-One.
You must learn. That's what Sublime says about KRS-One. You ever hear that song, KRS-One by Sublime?
No. I mean, I probably heard it, but...
40 Ounces of Freedom.
40 Ounces of Freedom.
That might be my favorite record.
That's I know I've heard the song because I've heard Sublime. That album fucking over and over. So...
It's cool. It makes you want to take your shirt off, go to the beach.
No.
Go down to
no,
Long Beach.
Nothing ever makes me want to take my shirt off.
It makes me want to get a tattoo across
naked
my chest.
Naked girls in front of me wanting to have sex with me doesn't make me want to take my shirt off. I will, just to make them more comfortable with the situation. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You ain't got nothing to worry about, girl. Trust me.
I don't
want to
make you feel
that.
Like I'm, like, leaving. Like, I'm, like, ready to go as soon as I'm done. But, yeah, I just don't want to, I want to take my clothes off. I'm ugly. That hideous son of a bitch. What were you talking about, Danzig? Did you hear some new stuff from him or something?
I listened to the entire new record.
About it or something?
I would say, okay, it's not that I'm excited. Okay, first of all, I'm excited that Danzig is coming to Cleveland in September with Corrosion and Conformity at the Agora.
Is Pepper still with COC?
He's back with COC. He
was
gone for a while.
He did the last tour.
Yeah, he did the last tour. He's doing new stuff with them. So Pepper's good. Back, which, yeah, that's that's a necessary force in COC.
I've only got to see COC once, and it was without Pepper, so. And that was over in Philly with Clutch.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a good show.
They're great.
It was dope. King, COC, and Clutch.
Yeah. But awesome. I did listen to the new Danzig record, and I listened to it twice. Not like, you know, not back to back. It was... like a week was separated between the listens.
Yeah.
And it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be based off of that song, the Devil on Highway, whatever the fuck.
Because that was shit.
That was shit. You can't drive. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Keep your eyes on the fucking line. It was generic. It was very, so corny.
So the rest of the album's decent?
No, not necessarily. There's other corny...
No, because I feel like you were...
No, listen. There's other cornball shit on there. However, I don't mind the cornball. Sometimes I get a kick out of it, but there are a few gems on the record that I was like, ooh, this would be good live.
Multiple gems.
Multiple. There's okay. Like at least three, I would say six max. Well, I gotta really listen to it.
Three is what you kind of hope for with an album. Like, you know, you want the whole album to be good, but you hope there's at least three or four, like, really good songs.
Right. Definitely. Because two is not enough. Like, two is not enough to validate buying a record.
No, I could have got an EP.
Sure.
I'm going to pay full price for that shit.
I'll just...
You only got an EP's worth of good shit.
I'll just rip it off the internet. But three songs is like, yeah, you know, like, I could put that in my car. And go make a trip. I could skip past a few, but I'll get three songs for sure out of it. And maybe a couple, like, all right ones. And that's what I felt like with the Danzig record. I felt like there was a few gems where I was like, I could get that caught in my head. I could get that stuck in my head. The production wasn't awesome. It's not Rick Rubin levels. But as far as Danzig stuff goes, I've heard him do a lot worse. I've heard Danzig make some shit. It's like being in, you know... Like, being an ICP fan, like, there's some stuff I'm not going to defend. I'm not going to defend some stuff from Danzig. Just not going to do it. So, yeah.
I feel like there's a reason that the only song that gets played from Danzig is Mother. It's the only song that gets played.
Oh.
There's no other song ever gets played. You know, not on MTV, not on the radio stations, not on nothing. Like, you don't hear shit from Danzig.
Right?
Nothing. Mother. One song.
Not She Rides.
But he's a legend.
He is a legend.
That's what I hear.
He's a legend. Well, I mean...
That's what I hear. Mother, can you keep him in the dark for a while? Can you have a proper wedding world? Oh, mother. What else came out after that?
Well, I mean, well, the next four records were solid. Dude, how'd the gods kill?
Okay, but if they were solid, where's everything at?
Devil's Plaything, Dirty Black Summer...
Where's it at if it's so good?
But
I'm just saying, where's it at if it's so good? It should be out there. He's fucking Danzig. He's a legend and shit, you know?
Yeah.
Leader of the Misfits. He's in Danzig. Mother!
I think he was just one of the... I think that's... Because that song actually got airplay. Keep in mind, if it wasn't hair metal, up until, you know, maybe Metallica's one, the late 80s, you started hearing some... Metal.
I guess it was a rough time with it being the switch over to grunge and gangster rap, because that's what ruled the 90s, other than fucking Live.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Fucking Live.
Collective Soul. Those guys, they had the rock locked down. So maybe that's why. Maybe that's why. Maybe Danzig just got buried because there was too much other shit going on. You know what I mean? Well, Nirvana was too big. Seattle was too big. L.A. was too big.
See, I remember Danzig, though, in the early 90s, late 80s, like, being one of the only metal guys to actually get played on the radio. Like, actual, what you would, you know, be considered actual metal. The guy fucks with Satan. The guy's got all kinds of...
Yeah, the room full of skulls yeah. and shit. Right, but the one song, the only song that got played was Mother, mm-hmm. which was not a metal song. Not a metal song at all, dude. Come on.
I could pit to Mother.
No!
Easily!
You can pit to the Nutcracker, motherfucker. You can pit to all kinds of shit. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't make it metal.
Huh.
I can pit to Onyx. If it doesn't make it metal, it's fucking hip-hop.
If you're listening to this right now, please let us know if Mother is metal.
Mother's not metal.
Well, see, we disagree.
The only Mother that's metal is Mother off of Full Metal Jacket. That dude's metal as fuck.
I mean, the video, it's all black and white, metal. It's Danzig strutting his shit, metal.
I remember it was a live video, and it was in color. I don't remember the black.
That was from the Demon Sweat Live. That was years after the first Mother
right.
came out. That was like Mother 93 or whatever the fuck.
Just saying, if he's a legend,
I recall, maybe it's because like I'm a couple years younger than you. Maybe it's that because I saw Danzig as a fucking megastar in heavy metal early on. It was like Metallica was number one, Ozzy was tied for fucking number one, and then like right under them, it was bands like. Anthrax, Slayer, I knew of Gwar, I knew of Body Count, I knew of Danzig.
Yeah, I didn't know about Body Count until 92 when Cop Killer happened or whatever, but that's when I got hip to Body Count. But
yeah,
I knew about Slayer and Maiden.
Right.
Is more metal than Ozzy. I mean, Sabbath is metal. Ozzy's not metal. Ozzy's rock. Ozzy's fucking like chick rock and shit, dude.
Yeah.
That's the shit you take your fucking chick to and hope you get laid at the end of the night after fucking 12, $18 beers.
You will get laid.
You will get laid. You will. Those fucking $18 beers will fucking go a long way.
She will ride off the rails. Bitch off
Backpage, but that's just my opinion. Either way, you're paying for it. But Ozzy was more rock then. It wasn't so metal.
You think so?
Yeah. You can look. You'll always consider Ozzy metal because of who he is. But yeah. Sabbath was metal.
Sabbath Ozzy was metal.
Was not metal. Ozzy was like really good fucking rock.
Dude. Well, the early Randy Rhoads stuff was certainly I don't know. Suicide Solution is one of the fucking coolest riffs I've ever heard.
And Crazy Train, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course, Crazy Train.
But it's like,
I mean, Mr. Crowley was dark as shit.
Look, I guess if you can consider Rat. And Cinderella and bands like that metal because it's hair metal, then yeah, Ozzy is some type of metal in there somewhere. He's Ozzy metal. If we could just give him his own category, then.
See, I recall, like, I don't know. I think the Randy Rhoads stuff was pretty fucking metal. Like, yeah, it was fast shit. Like, Over the Mountain. Like, Over the Mountain. Like, man, that was some fast shit. Do you remember the stage in the 80s where Ozzy had like his hair all fucking bigged up and hair sprayed up, and
it was like layered and he had highlights?
Yeah, and it looked like he had a triangle on his head. And
Sharon did that.
Of course she did.
That was all her.
Sharon Osbourne.
Cunt.
She discovered OTEP. Did you know that?
Speaking of cunts. Hey, nice cunt segue.
Segue!
Cunts.
We'll have more Ozzy talk some other show, for sure.
Yeah.
But, so OTEP upset some people. We gotta wrap up the whole, like, because there are other bands. And guess what? We talked about Portland. I was like, do you think there's bands like this in Portland? The band that is like, support the local scene against this bitch OTEP that looks like Mushroom Head, they're from Portland, Oregon.
How do we do this? How do we do it?
We reunited Chimera.
Yeah. How do we do that? We do it all.
We talked about NDE, what happens if video comes out.
We don't try.
We don't try
to do any of it. It just happens.
Hate Theory 3's coming out, by the way.
We, like, will it to happen. We will things to happen.
Yeah.
And they happen. We're magic.
Total.
Couple magic. Fucking unicorns, bro, hanging out. Magical, motherfucker. Look at your shirt. Magical.
So first things first with this Otep lady.
Otep lady.
Yeah.
Otep Shemaya.
This is a woman who got discovered, we were saying, by Sharon Osbourne early on. After 4 or 5 shows, she got to play in front of 25,000 people at Ozfest. She did an interview recently. It was like a stream interview where she was talking about local bands. She ended up talking some shit about that. We'll get into that. But first, the band Convalescence was on tour with OTEP, and this is what started this whole campaign,
right,
from like loudwire.com and so forth. Where they're just like, hey, this lady's a bitch. She did this bitch thing. And the story goes, let me see if I got this right. They were selling merch during the intro of her set.
Yep.
And so she kicked them off tour.
Yep.
Now, I've read in different things that, like, there was possibly, like, already a rift between the bands. Like, I think somebody in Convalescence, like them and OTEP's driver.
Somebody bought some weed off a staff member at a venue and fucking they caught word of it and was whatever, man. Shut the fuck up. Like, fuck off, cunt.
Yeah.
Fucking heard about they got some weed. Yeah. Yeah, they got some weed. And they're a group of some of the fucking nicest dudes to be on the road with. Don't smell the greatest. Nice fucking guys, though. And you're going to fucking kick them off tour for what? Because you're a cunt.
Right.
You're a cunt. Because from what I hear is that you're not allowed to sell merch during their set. All your shit has to be torn down and put away. And then they have, like, the touring bands handle their merch sometimes. Like, sell their merch for them while they're on stage, and they're not allowed to sell their own shit.
Right.
What the fuck? And what is it with bands getting petty over fucking merch?
That's
and
the
local
other
bands and national bands are getting petty over fucking merch. And people are getting kicked off of shows. People are getting kicked off of tours. Like, what the fuck is happening? This is the metal scene. This is supposed to be this is supposed to be metal. And this is some of the most dramatic, stupid, cocksucking bullshit on all sides. It's fucking ridiculous. I don't even know how it's gotten here, but it's not just Cleveland. And we were just talking. Like, last fucking show. Do you think that this happens in other areas? Do you think other people in fucking scenes have this problem? No, I really don't think that. Bullshit. Apparently they fucking do have this problem. Because there's another band who is the name of the other band?
American Overdose, with a K instead of a C in American.
Who also has a problem with fucking OTEP under similar circumstances. They didn't get caught, like, buying weed or anything.
Right.
And then, you know, the Convalescence, like, they said that she, I read in the article that they said that she was a nightmare to work with. And I laughed because I've known people to, like, work shows, do security at shows, and play shows with her. And they've said the exact same fucking thing. That bitch is a nightmare. She's a fucking cunt. Like, she treats people like shit. I've never met her, man. So it's like, it's hard for me to be like, yeah, she's a cunt.
Right.
You know? But with all of this going on and then reading, like, her Twitter.
Yeah, I was checking out her Twitter today, too.
Anal gland? Like, you just got to keep calling somebody an anal gland? Like, is that some famous lesbian put down? I don't get it.
And the whole thing, the guy's name is Cody Perez from American Overdose. He was upset with her because she made the statement that local bands don't sell tickets. He went on to say, if the touring manager is asking for local support, it's because they know OTEP can't fill the place themselves, and they need the help of the local bands for a crowd. We've been talking about this a lot. Like, why so many bands on the bill when a band can sell out the show? Or,
How ignorant is she to shows that she says that locals don't sell tickets? Like, that's how these promoters fucking make their bread and butter is off of locals. That's how it's been for years. How many shows did you fucking play as a local before fucking Sharon picked you up and put you on the goddamn cloud?
4.
That was in your life?
4
in
shows.
In her life.
Period.
In her life.
Period. Before Sharon's like,
fuck up and die. Go fuck yourself with Lucille. Grab that thing. Get it up in there. Twist it around. Fucking asshole, man. Like, local bands don't sell fucking tickets. Bitch, you fucking need local bands.
Yeah.
Straight up. There were no fucking locals on the show at the Odeon and shit with you and fucking Kitty, because there was. And I guarantee they sold tickets. Fuck off. Jesus fucking Christ. Locals don't sell fucking tickets. That's coming from somebody who's never been a quote unquote local. And she sits there and belittles them like, you're nothing. You're a local. You're nothing. What the fuck?
I was just thinking this week, you were telling me about you worked the Mushroom Head show. This is the show that local band from, I believe, Youngstown, right? Metal Mafia.
Yeah, Youngstown-ish.
Metal Mafia was supposed to be one of the top bands on this. They got tossed off.
That's 100 pre-sale right there. I'm just going to say that.
They were okay. See, I was going to bring that up. You were telling me that the show did not sell out.
No.
We were convinced that Mushroom Head sells out. That's what they do. Metal Mafia didn't play the show.
Nope.
I remember seeing Head PE.
Yeah.
When we saw Head PE last year, Metal Mafia opened up that show,
which was a perfect fit for those guys.
It absolutely right, and the crowd was super there for Metal Mafia. Like, at least half of that crowd was metal. You know, Raider. I would say probably
a big portion of it.
Yeah, a big portion of it.
I've said before,
Metal Mafia fans. Metal Mafia being the support that they were, and probably being in that position 100 times, right? They were so professional. Like, everybody stick around. We're here to hype up Head P. Like, you could tell they were thrilled to be playing with a band that they liked,
right?
And that they wanted their fans to stick around and see this band that was possibly an influence on Metal Mafia, right? And I was thinking about, like, when Jared from Head PE went up to go do his whole thing where he's like, I want to thank the other bands for being on the show. And he names the one support act that they brought on the road with him. And the response was lukewarm at best.
Right.
He says some other band, another lukewarm reception. And then he's like, and of course, Metal fucking Mafia. Crowd erupts. Yeah. And I was like, that's local bands bringing in the ticket sales, getting the butts in the seat, as they would say. Metal Mafia did not play the show with Mushroom Head, and it could have possibly sold out. Because you were saying, like, you know, without getting into too detailed, it was a rough night for some people at the Mushroom Head show as far as ticket sales go.
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, we could have had another 200 people in that fucking bar. That's how short we were, dude. I'm saying that there was a little over 3 in that room with the bands. And Chris, your boy Chris,
yeah,
was shitting himself because he went in on that show with the promoter that I won't name, but was having a fucking absolute stroke all night, dude. Like, that promoter was walking around, seriously, like, couldn't breathe, looked like he was dying. Like, every time I'd see him, I'd be like, you cool, dude? Want some water? And he would just shake his head and try to breathe. He looked like he was going to die. And at the end of the night, like, there was all kinds of yelling and screaming going
Man.
On. Oh, it was a bad night for some people.
It was a bad night.
Bad night. And your boy Chris is just like, fucking watch my money. Fly out the goddamn door. This is fucking shitty.
So J-Man was saying stuff at the Mushroom Head show. He actually addressed
He addressed the local drama.
What was it he said?
He didn't. Okay, look, I can't say verbatim because the show was last week and I couldn't get my phone out to record it. So I can't say exactly what he said. It was something to the effect of the local scene. I don't know what local scene they're talking about. Ain't got shit to do with geography. The only local scene I know is right fucking here. This is our local scene. And I was just like, so I don't understand what you're trying to say. Are you saying that you only care about your fans and who supports you and your music and buys your shit?
Right.
Or are you actually calling Mushroom Head the scene? I don't know which way to take it, but those are the two ways that I would take it. You know what I mean? Like, the only scene that matters is right fucking here. Like, well...
And let's... Let us be honest with ourselves here. His feelings are hurt, bro. That's all. That's why he addressed it.
It's
on his mind.
As flustered as he got when he was talking, because he was emotional when he was speaking. He was like, you can tell he was pissed off.
Serious time,
and he fucked his word up once. I've never heard J-Man fuck his words up. Right? Like, he's a tongue twister dude. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he
twisting
spits
four or five caps.
Hot fire, bro.
Yes.
Right? He actually stumbled a bit, and I was like, oh, shit, what's he's mad. On? He's mad. That's how I took it. Oh, shit, he's pissed. Because he can't even fucking get that shit out. He's pissed.
I think his feelings are hurt.
But over what, though?
Because he spent decades. This is a
guy. That's what he said, 25 years, and blah, 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 blah. And look, I said the same thing. It must suck for some local bands to be topped for so long. Because Mushroomhead is on top and have been for a quarter of a century in the Northeastern Ohio music scene. And J-Man, sorry, dude, I fucking disagree with you completely. Geographically, it means every fucking thing to anybody in this fucking scene. Yeah. Except for the guys that are making a bunch of money, I guess. Because everybody else that plays shows talks about how much they love the Northeastern Ohio metal scene. Like, because we have one.
Yeah.
And it's a good one. So, there is a geographical scene. J-Man, sorry, dude.
So Cody Perez, though, this guy, he writes, "Fuck this piece of shit. The band is terrible and she's full of shit. I will never attend a show Otep plays. The only times I have ever seen her live is because of the other bands playing with her." A recent live stream she posted, she said, "Local bands don't sell. She's full of shit.
They don't.
I have plenty of friends that have opened for Otep and sold tickets." She claims the local promoter is the one who decides if locals open. In my experience, the local promoter allows local bands to open if the touring manager asks for locals. There is plenty of times the local promoter will say, the touring manager doesn't want locals. If the touring manager is asking for local support, blah, 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 blah. So, is that true? Is it the local promoter, promoters like OTEP says, or is it the touring managers that decide whether or not that locals are going on to a show?
If a touring manager says, hey, we no locals, then there won't be any locals. But ain't nobody saying that shit.
Yeah.
Nobody's telling fucking promoters to not do that. That's, again, that's how promoters sell their fucking shows out, is by putting on a bunch of locals.
So Cody sends this to OTEP on Twitter. Her response is, "Oh, look, an anal gland thinks it's people." Laugh emoji with tear, laugh emoji with tear. So you got two.
Anal gland is funny to her.
Right.
Like, super funny, because she does use it a couple times and continues with the laugh emoji with tears.
He laugh emojis with tears three times. Laugh emoji, laugh emoji, laugh emoji. "You are a total joke, asshat. How about you tell people some more how great you are and how local bands don't matter? You suck." He sounds like a kid, doesn't he? Like, just getting into the local scene.
I mean, she called him an anal gland.
True.
She sounds like a kid. She's fucking...
But it made him laugh. He laugh emojied. You know what? He should have...
But that's not
he should have angry face... He should have angry face emoji. Like, that's not fucking cool.
But he was laughing it off emoji.
But it's bullshit. Like, you know that he was upset? Be honest, Cody.
Three times? Brush my shoulders.
I'm not saying Cody's wrong, but be honest, Cody. And then he's like, LMAO, what does she know about hard work? She was opened and said herself they got signed to put on Ozfest after their first four shows. Laugh emoji, laugh emoji. She goes, "Oh, look, more tweets from a homophobic anal gland who thinks it's people." Laugh, laugh emoji. Asshat. Laugh emoji, laugh emoji, laugh emoji. "Your band is in Portland, duly noted." So she's like, "I'll remember that, Cody.
I'm gonna blacklist you, Cody.
When I come to Portland, I'm gonna talk shit on your band."
Yeah.
Nee, 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 OTEP. He says, "Never once mentioned anything about my sexuality. That's always your go-to. Please don't get my band blacklisted. I'm terrified." Laugh emoji, laugh emoji. She writes, "Aw, poor little feller," laugh emoji. "Okay, anal gland."
See, she did it again, anal gland. She thinks it's funny.
"We tour about six mows a year."
I like saying it like that.
Not one show here and there like you, Momos. I'm 7 albums and 15 years in this biz. She also likes Momos. That comes up again. Somebody else from the band writes, it's weird that you claim that my vocalist, @Cody_Perez, is homophobic, .. Pause for it. Our last bassist, @BrandonSillisPedix or whatever, is gay. He's totally gay.
Yeah, I love her response to that one.
You're petty. To which she writes, wait, I bet you have a black friend too.
She went there.
Laugh emoji, 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 fucking Momos. And then she goes on to tweet a picture of some guy blocking the sun with his hand, wearing his baseball cap backwards and having sunglasses hanging from his shirt. And it says, when you're given all the tools to succeed in life, but you're too dumb to use them, to which she wrote, all these lame-ass locals vying for publicity, laugh emoji, laugh emoji, laugh emoji.
Yeah, I mean, she's just fucking
cracking herself the fuck up. I think it's time we do a mashup.
That feels right.
Break up the monotony of the show.
Let's mosh it all together. And love each other.
Chad Kroeger, your favorite singer, and Corey Taylor. They've been beefing. They've been beefing this week, man. I don't know how much of this you've seen, but Nickelback started it, right? Wasn't that what happened in Chad Kroeger?
I don't even know why it got started. It just said something about Stone Sour should write a hit song or something. Try it writing a hit song. Is that what he said?
Yeah, or their nickel. Who said they were? Who said the other one was like a light version of them? Like, I feel like he maybe have said Stone Sour was Nickelback light.
Yeah, he did.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rough. And Corey Taylor is having fun with it. He's talking shit back and forth, back and forth. Is there even a debate in this one as far as being a music fan goes? Like, if you're
Stone Sour is a good band,
right?
Like, I don't. Like, I'm not a fan of them.
They're looking at you really, through the glass.
Really good band, and Corey Taylor is a great singer. Like, he's especially live. Like, his vocals are fucking spot on. So is Nickelback. Nickelback's a really good band.
You didn't say that. Tell me you didn't just say that.
Nickelback's a really good band.
Really, 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 really good.
Nickelback's a really good band. Nickelback's a really good band. Really good band. Nickelback's a really good band. And they write fucking good songs that sell really well. And that, you know, most of you get lap dances too. So you're welcome.
Yeah.
Strip club attendees. That's what they basically write their songs for, dude. They write their songs for strip clubs. Good for them.
I feel like Corey Taylor is getting a lot of press lately just for what he thinks about things. I just read earlier today that he was sticking up for the new Linkin Park record. A lot of people are upset about the new Linkin Park record. I guess
Chester Bennington for sticking up for his album.
He stayed true to himself.
Whatever.
You know what? Like, props to Linkin Park. If they wanted to put out a shitty record, guys, let them put out a shitty record.
He was like, he said, you
they
know,
put
he
out
was
shitty records.
Before. He was right. If people don't like it, fuck them. And I was like, really? So if people follow your like your shit for years and you give them this thing for years that they're used to, and then you switch your thing and they all go, hey, we don't like that thing so much. Your response is fuck them.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, you can't accept us for us, dude.
What? They're the whole reason you fucking have the house.
Yeah.
The whole reason you stay on the road. They're the whole reason you have a job and a career that isn't making auto parts somewhere in some shitty factory. Like, it's.
You don't go down on
fuck
your. You don't go down on your lady every day for like 5 years straight and then just straight take it away from her.
Don't do that.
You don't do that. She will leave you and you're like, what the fuck? She's like, every day, dude, 5 years. And then you cut that shit out
and
now you're like,
thing,
I'm not
really
doing it anymore.
Thing, and now you're gonna like you're gonna take that thing away from me?
She's gonna leave you, dog.
And then you're gonna tell me, fuck you?
Fuck.
Fuck me? What? Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was a little bit harsh as far as talking to his fans go. Like, if you don't like it, fuck you. Like,
yeah.
Listen, Chester. You get slapped up. I didn't like you fucking your band anyways, but that new shit is really awful. Like, it makes me like your old shit. You succeeded in making me like your band before. So, awesome, dude.
I'm like, dude, I've been hung up on by this guy, and he's like, well, I can get you a quote. I said, I don't want a fucking quote from your goddamn company! All I want is removed from your fucking call list.
Dan, let's like, take a step back here.
Just
I can save you a lot
trick.
Of money on car insurance.
I'm like, my name is Sean, not fucking Jeremy Ackleberry.
They're like, that's a long name.
Sounds like you're pretty riled up there. You need life insurance?
I was angry.
Yeah, you might be dying soon. We can cover you on that.
And you got great plans.
Lousy Weather Media, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and lousyweathermedia.com.
It is that time again, finally. People, we, Keeping It 99 Gentlemen, we're going to bring you
Badass Band of the Week, son!
Fourth of July. All day 4th of July.
Fireworks
just listen
going.
To this band.
Boom! Boom!
Watch your fireworks. Listen to this band. Right after you listen to this show.
Boom!
What band are we talking about, my man?
Goosed! Motherfucker, Goosed!
Ohio Zone!
Yeah, so it's Kenny, and Bill from the Ravenna Arsenal. And then their boy Herb. Herb's a good dude. These guys all together. It would be like an Olympic drinking team. Like Beer Fest. Remember Beer Fest?
Mm-hmm.
That movie Beer Fest?
Of course I do.
Those three could compete against teams of five.
According to Facebook. This is according to Facebook. I don't know who writes their bio on Facebook. But the story goes, Goost is loud and heavy.
Yep.
Low and slow.
Yep.
Sludge with a rural undertone. Other stuff too. Like SATO. You buy it, we'll try it. You guys have a lot of angry parts. Bobby Reinhardt. That's what Bobby Reinhardt from NDE.
Yeah.
Nail Black.
Nail Black.
Pitch Black 4K. Just to name three.
Did I tell you I ran into Chris Longo? Did we talk about that?
No.
Did I mention this?
No.
So I'm on lunch. Chris Longo from the band NDE.
Yes.
The guitar player who's missing from the band, basically. So I ran into him in Aurora, where people are loaded. And we were at Walgreens or whatever. And he got out of the car. I got out of the car. And we kind of locked eyes for a second. And he was with his wife, who doesn't know a lot about his past, I don't think, right?
Okay.
Like, because she doesn't know about him and his guitar playing. Like, right?
Wow.
So he kind of looks at me like, oh, shit. Right? And, you know, he was like, oh, points to the ton sticker on the back of the truck and shit. And I was like, yeah, right, cool. And we started talking. And then we were, you know, he says, yeah, I know Grant from, you know, back in the day. I was in a band. And she is, I think she's Italian. I don't know. I can't remember her name. I think her name was Claudia. But I don't know. But she had a really thick accent. And she was super, super sweet. She was very nice. But she was like, I don't know anything about his music. And I was like, what? I looked at him like, asshole. How dare you deprive this woman of the magic that is your fingers? Not that you do all the time. Just saying, with a guitar in your hands. So why? So I'm like, no, you're like married to one of the fucking best guitar players in Ohio. Like, it's like, like seriously, he's one of my favorite guitar players in the whole state. And she kind of looked at him and looked at me and looked at him like, what? What's that about?
This is going to be a conversation today.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, we got to go. I got to go. Good seeing you, Grant.
I just picture him just looking at you, shaking his head like, no, shut up.
That's how I fucking cut behind it. His eyes was like, shh, stop mentioning my past.
No.
So yeah, I ran into Chris Longo one day. Back to Bobby Reinhardt talking about Goost.
Oh, yeah.
Goost is awesome. You know, It's good, heavy fucking slow shit. We want come out to the Blackout Cookout. Kenny Royer is the gentleman who throws the Blackout Cookout every year, which is the greatest show every year, usually in August, September-ish. Barbecue, $20 to get in, all you can eat barbecue food, and a bunch of fucking really awesome stoner metal and doom bands.
They're gonna be playing July 8th with Ton.
We're at
Stone Tavern.
Oh!
And also, former Badass Band of the Week, Apocalyptic Fist of the Black Death is going to be playing more bands.
And that's the 8th?
The 8th of July!
Is that a Friday or a Saturday? What is that?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know things.
My phone's dead! I'm not smart without it. I can't Google.
The show's on a Saturday.
Oh! Saturday. That means I'll be working because I always work Saturdays. That sucks. That'll be a good show.
Yes.
I want to go to that.
Contra's playing.
Oh, Contra, Chris Chiera from fucking Sofa King Killer.
They're having a CD release party.
Contra's awesome. Check them guys out.
And DJ Flipside is also going to be performing that evening. So get your butts down to the Stone Tavern. And if you can't for some reason or if you want to do both, go visit Redbeard, who will probably be working out on the Outpost.
I'll be at the Outpost. There'll be a show there. I don't know who's playing, but there'll be a show. And I'll be there. So come and smoke your weed with me. Not that I do those things. Come smoke with me.
So I've heard I heard Goost for the very first time a few days back.
Ah.
I'm a recent.
They're good. You like the Ravenna Arsenal?
I love the Ravenna Arsenal.
You should like Goost.
Let's play you out, guys. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Enjoy your 4th of July.
Who knows? You know what to expect with us.
Yeah. We suck. Worst comes to worst, we'll phone shit in.
Phone a friend.
Phone a friend.
You're gonna phone a friend.
My name is Eagle.
I'm Rubber City. Phone a friend.
See you soon.
Peace.
What you got? Good job.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.